And there's a shoulder that I lean upon as I face another mile. There's a love that I can depend on. It's fresh and new each day. And with love, my heart is overflowing. That is why I say I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Shall we stand? I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over, over.
How you feel?
Amen.
Amen. Just keeps getting sweeter. Amen. We got a testimony tonight, and it's from Sister Faith Neighbor, and she wasn't here this morning due to Brother Todd's work schedule, but as Brother Hoover said when he read it, he said it goes just right perfectly along with the service this morning. We was talking about taking God at his word and how having a positive confession and keep that I believe Brother Branham phrased it as a happy attitude about things that you're going through, and to keep telling the enemy that he's defeated and that the word is right. And she said, I wish to write this only for God's glory. Some months ago, I smashed my elbow into a brick wall outside our home. That episode left me with stinging pain in my left arm as well as limited ability for it to function properly. I made myself keep using it despite these facts and finally went up for prayer. I then did what our prophet said to do, go thanking God, confessing nothing but my healing. It was a battle that dragged on, but I kept reminding myself to not accept it nor sign for the package. I told the devil that if he thought it was wonderful, he could have it. Praise the Lord. My arm is back to normal, Sister Faith Neighbor.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So I love when a testimony like that just confirms, amen, what we already know, that God is still a healer and that he's the high priest of our confession. Brother Bam tells us several different places there that God will make your body obey your confession. So,
yes.
Amen. Just more evidence of that tonight. So, praise the Lord. I also got a prayer request came in this afternoon. Sister Patty Hansel said to please remember her dad's brother, Ronnie Milby. He has pneumonia. And they sedated him and put him on a ventilator, and the family's on the way to the hospital to be with him. So I want to remember that situation in prayer. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Know the Lord sees each one. Brother Wade, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer for these requests and needs?
Let's bow our heads. Father, we're just so grateful to be gathered here together tonight, Lord. It's just a privilege and an honor. It fulfills the desire of our hearts, Lord. You You have children that have needs, Lord. Family express that loved one is sick and in the hospital, the family's gathering. Father, we just ask that you be merciful, tender, Lord. Just deliver that situation, Lord, and just be on the scene for them, Lord. Just provide a healing touch, Lord, however it may manifest itself. Father, we are thankful for the testimony that we heard. Lord, give us the courage to confess and profess the healing that you've so bountifully provided to us, Lord. You've given us the recipe, and you said you have to believe it, accept it's for you, that promise is for you, and then go and confess it. Father, we just ask that you give us that strength, Lord, to follow through with that, Lord, because you're so gracious to give us that promise, Lord. Lord, each and every hand that went up, you know the request behind that, Lord. Those needs, Lord, just deep in the heart of that individual, Father, we just pray that that brother and sister would find the answers to what they're looking for. That you, we know, Lord, though, if we bring it to you, that you will make it work out, Lord, to your perfect will. And that's where we want to walk, Lord. Just straight down the middle. Father, we pray that for the remainder of this service, Lord, that you'd have the preeminence, that you'd have the honor and the glory. Fill us a little bit more with your Spirit, so that when we depart, Lord, we'll be a brighter light. And in all ways, Lord, help us to show forth your love. We ask these things in your name. Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. Sister Anna and Sister Leah have a song for us this evening. appreciate that. Brother Ben, if you'll come.
Didn't have time to practice this much, so pray for us that we get the words right. Just hearing Brother Nathan preach at this morning, a song was really in my heart a couple weeks ago and just went right with the message this morning, so pray it'll be a blessing. She was a virgin bride to be, and one night as she lay quietly, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon her. Said, "You'll conceive a child that sin will not defile." And she said, "Be it unto me according to the word." And she kept these sayings and pondered them deep within her heart. She believed in God. She said, "There's something new about the star." So if the word could be born in Mary, well, it certainly can be born in you and me. To be saved through the blood of Calvary, and in this time of darkness we have come. We've received the vindicated word that we all have heard, and I can see it being born in you and me.
Appreciate the music that we have in this church, the talent, the singing, to glorify Him. Not to draw to some person, but to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful, isn't it? Let's stand, if you would, please. As Brother Nathan comes to take the pulpit, and just sing a song, shut in with God in a secret place. Pray tonight that Brother Trevor comes and begins to expound upon the word and exhort us, that we don't hear just Brother Trevor up here teaching or preaching, but we can hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to His bride tonight. I want to be shut in. Don't want to worry about the person to my right, to my left, in the front of me or behind me. I just want to be shut in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Shut in.
Is that your desire? Amen. To be shut in with Him? Amen. How many has been enjoying this Church Age series? Amen. What a blessing. And somebody said, now, did Brother Hoover announce that wrong? He announced Brother Trevor was going to be teaching on the Church Age book tonight, but Brother Trevor just did it last Sunday night. And I said, well, yeah, but Brother Trevor's going to be out of town for a few weeks. So we're just trying to rotate the schedule a little bit around that. So, amen. I believe we'll enjoy it tonight. And amen. And we can't get too much in a cycle here to where you can just predict what we're going to do. You know me better than that. Amen. So God bless you tonight. Let's sing it again before we turn the service to Brother Trevor. Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother Trevor and Sister Anna Mae and the Eamon family and how God's using them in our assembly and also just out into other states and out into Finland and Africa and different places. Appreciate Brother Trevor and his ministry. And amen. I believe we'll, if we can just listen and study along with it as we go, I believe it'll do us good. He's encouraging us to go back and read the Church Age book. I know that'll do us good. And I don't know, it's been a blessing to our family. We've been sitting and studying it together, Philip and Rebecca and I, and sometimes Nathaniel will bring his Church Age book and Bible in and follow along and read part of it with us. And it's been a blessing as a family. I hope it has been to you as well. I hope you do the lessons. Amen. Go back, and I know some of the things he asks us to memorize might be a little longer than you used to memorize, but it's not going to hurt you. Amen. You know, we can't memorize our way in, but Jesus, when the devil came and he began to run his mouth and he tried to twist quotes and pervert quotes, it was nice that Jesus was able to turn around. He didn't have to say, wait a minute, let me get my computer. Wait a minute, let me go ask the pastor. Wait a minute, let me get my cell phone. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And he kept quoting it to the devil. So sometimes it's nice to be able to quote it back. Maybe the mind and the devil fighting you and you just remind him of the word. Or maybe it's somebody out here on the streets or in some church parking lot that tries to give you just a whole bucket full of false doctrine. You can stand there and say, but wait a minute, brother, it's also written. And your perception or conception or whatever it is doesn't match what's written over here in this part. You're taking one part, not taking it all. So, amen, it's good to know what's been written. Amen. Shut in with
what we're going to be speaking on this evening, of getting in the Spirit and being shut in with God is one of those places that you do get in the Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless your word as we look into it, as we study these few lines, Lord, and what the prophet told us about these things. Lord, I pray that you would open our understanding, reveal yourself. As you said, what this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ and of him in the oncoming ages. Lord, we want to see you and know you where you've been in history. We want to know where you are today. We want to know where you are in our lives. Lord, open our hearts to see you. Open our eyes to see you, God, Lord, and then come quickly that we may see you in the clouds, Lord. We thank you for this service. Bless our hearts now, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So as Brother Nathan said, we're headed out Friday. I'm going to be preaching at Brother Jack Duff's church, Brother Carl Herms in Tampa, and Brother Danny Steeman's there in Sarasota as well. And, you know, as Brother Nathan and I used to joke around, you know, somebody's got to evangelize South Florida in December and January, and might as well be us, you know. So, but do pray for us. I know it's kind of hard to pray for somebody who's going to Florida when you're stuck in the cold, but please do keep us in prayer, and that the Lord will be with us in the journeying and everything. And, you know, for us, it's going to be kind of a light. You know, I'm only preaching, six times over a period of 9 days or so. So, I mean, that's light. You know, we're going to have 4 days of no preaching. That's, you know, that's a real vacation for us. And Anime thinks a vacation is actually when I'm not preaching any. But, you know, I'm like, well, we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's going to be great. So, but keep us in prayer. I appreciate it very much. I thought Brother Nathan did a very nice introduction on, you know, do the lessons and try to memorize. And so I won't say any more about that other than amen, keep going. So, if you've been following along, if you're on track and up to date, you should have finished chapter 1 in the Church Age book and through lesson 9. So today we're going to cover just lesson 10. There's enough in here that I felt just one lesson instead of trying to get through two. But so we'll just go over some of the questions. I know maybe some of you were caught off guard and weren't ready and maybe hadn't gotten it done, and it was just last Sunday, but we'll go through them. And, you know, don't cheat. Don't write the answers down. I was actually fellowshipping with my father-in-law some this afternoon, and we were talking about it, and he had handed me his Church Age book that he's had since like 1960-something or other, and one of the old hardcover ones. And I was looking at all the notes that he was had written down on different things, and we were just fellowshipping about it. And he says, you know, some of those questions you asked, you actually have to read the Church Age book in order to answer those. And I said, yes you do. That was kind of the point. So, anyhow, praise the Lord. Whose blood are you saved by? We're saved by the blood of God. Who did God entrust his plan of salvation to when Adam fell? He entrusted it to no one but himself. He came himself. Did you do anything to merit becoming a priest or a king? No, you sure didn't. It's all by grace. Who is it that made you a priest and a king? He did, or Jesus Christ, or God, just not you, it was him.
Amen.
Fill in the blank here. We have been blank in him to be children like unto our Father. Recreated in him. And just before that, Brother Branham says, no wonder the world does not appeal to us. Because we've been recreated. We're not part of this anymore. So recreated. Will everyone see Jesus at the rapture? No, not everyone will see him. That is not the day that every eye will see him. That is another day that's coming. But the rapture of the bride will see him. The sleeping virgins will be, they'll be wailing. Yes, they were good moral people, but they failed to get the oil, the Holy Spirit. In his presence is fullness of joy. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in this lesson. In his presence is fullness of joy. And we're going to talk about whether or not we really believe that or not. Because it's easy to say, it's easy to read. But does it really hit our lives that in his presence is fullness of joy? Is it really something that's true in our lives to say that there is nothing that is more fully joyful in my life than being in the presence of Jesus Christ? Amen. In the type of Joseph's two sons being blessed, which son represents the Gentiles? Ephraim, the younger son. So God crossed his hands, representing the cross that Jesus died on, and it going over to the younger son, the Gentiles. Are the 144,000 part of the bride? No. They are the 144 Jews, are the Jews that are sealed. Will the 144,000 be in the millennium? Yes, they will be attendants to the bride. Yay for them. I mean, hey, praise God. If you're going to be in the millennium, great. I'm happy for you. How is this last Gentile age going out? Speaking in tongues. With the sign of speaking in tongues, the message of speaking in tongues is fine. Amen. So, those are the questions for lessons 8 and 9. So here we are, lesson 10, in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Since we're starting chapter 2, that means we have a new passage to memorize. And you all are thankful because you've had that, you know, that other little passage that we were memorizing for chapter 1. You've all had that down for weeks now, so that was easy and nobody had any problems with that anymore. And so I thought about calling on some people, say, hey, go. You, now you, and, you know. And then I said, well, I'll just have some people read some scriptures for us in this lesson, and then, you know, that'll seem easy after having the thought of being called on to have recited something that was memorized. So here we go. This one's actually on two slides because I didn't realize it was that long when I wrote it down. It's not that long, but 60-point font makes it seem two slides sounds really long. But so here we go together. Every true believer is in the hand of God and can draw from his love and power and receive the full benefit of all that God is to the believer. What God gives the messenger and how he blesses and uses the messenger is an example to all believers of his goodness and care to all members of his body. This is the book I'm asking you to read. I mean, and there's more of that. That's just beautiful. Amen. It's just beautiful. Glory. But I'm not going to preach on those two slides. No, I could, but I'm not going to. We're going to talk about John on Patmos. So what we're doing here, what Brother Branham is doing, and maybe you noticed like last time how we went through, I went through lessons 8 and 9, and lesson 8 we were talking about being loose from sin, and lesson 9 I was just like, wow, lesson 9's a really, really short lesson. I can probably do it in 20 minutes, and I did, and I thought, well, I don't want to just do that one alone, and it would be the last one in chapter 1, so I just tacked it on there to the end, but it was like, it was kind of different for the service, because here we were talking about sin, and you're loose from sin, and now you're his righteousness, and oh, guess what, you know, there's a day coming. You know, it just felt like we just really like changed in the service and then kind of brought it back around there at the end. But you have to understand what we're doing and what Brother Branham is doing here is we're just step by step going through each phrase. And even as he's preaching the Patmos vision here, he just stops on some of these things. He's like, now we got plenty of time. He said, I don't want to miss a single parable here. So he's taking these phrases, you know, in the Spirit and on Patmos, and he's diving in and talking about each and every single one of them. So what we did in chapter 1 is we went through all the way through verse 8, and now here we are 9 and 10. So we've gone through, we're trying to get to the church ages, which starts in chapter 2, but we got to get through this vision first. What we're establishing is where John was, who John was, why was he on Patmos? What was God saying? And what God is saying here in the chapter 1 is he's identifying who it is that this vision is coming from. So these are the things that we're just kind of going over, but and then we'll finally in chapter 3 we'll, of the book, but chapter 2 of Revelations, we'll get into actually each church age. So this is still introduction here. And so we look at our timeline again. And the reason I throw this up here, and you can see, you probably can't read it from past like the third row, but over here, kind of catty corner, it says 95, 96. That's AD 95 and 96. This is the years that John was on Patmos. And one of the reasons that I always like to throw up a timeline is to always remember that this is not a story. This is not fiction. This is something that absolutely happened on the same timeline in which you live. So you could put yourself on this same timeline somewhere around in here and recognize, hey, John the Revelator, he lived on an island, oh, maybe far across the ocean from here, but in the same time period that I lived in. AD 95, I'm in AD 2018, but this is, okay, long time ago, but still very real, very relevant, not a story, not some other planet, but this is here. This is us. This is the world in which we live. So John was a real guy on a real island. Let's just take a look at the map really quick here. This black dot right here, this is Patmos, an island out in the Aegean Sea. And this place exists yet today. You can go there and take a vacation, probably not the most luxurious vacation you ever took. But and then, of course, you can see all the different dots for each church and where each city was. So John on Patmos. What was the Isle of Patmos? This is one of the pictures of Patmos today. Thank you, Internet, because I haven't been there yet. But this is the place, and Brother Branham says, now, all right, it's known in history as a rocky island full of serpents, scorpions, lizards, and so forth. It's 30 miles around it and full of rocks. It was used in the days of John as an Alcatraz, a place where the Roman Empire exiled. See, if you had to say that, you'd stumble over it too. Criminals, real bad criminals, and they couldn't keep them in jail and so forth. They put them out there on that island to die. Let them stay there until they were dead. Now, why was John there? That was what the Isle of Patmos was. Why was John there? He was a godly man, a righteous man, a man of good reputation, good character, never in trouble. Why was the man there? The Bible said, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He could not use him and all the persecutions and things because the saints was coming, oh, Brother John, what will we do about this? And what will we do? John was a prophet. We know that. And so they were asking these questions. So God just had the Roman Empire pick him up and set him out there on the isle and said, now, come on, John, I want to show you something that's going to happen. The last of the apostles there wasn't no more to write it but John. So they set him out there on the Isle of Patmos from AD 95 until AD 96. You see, sometimes God, you know, we can just stop here for a moment and just think about our lives. Because sometimes God has things happening to you that you don't understand. God, I've been good. I've been righteous. I've been holy. I haven't done anything. Lord, I am surrounded by murderers, by all of these men who were put out here to die because they couldn't keep them in the jails. And me, the only problem with me is they just couldn't keep me in the boiling pot of oil. And that's why they put me out here. They could have kept me in a jail, but the boiling pot didn't do anything. So that's the only reason I'm out here. I've not done one thing, but I'm surrounded by all of these people. God, what's going on? And maybe it's just God who orchestrated events to just pick you up and put you in a place where he needed you to be for some reason. Because he's a sovereign God. Amen. And many times we fail to trust in his sovereignty. And John could have failed to trust in his sovereignty and we wouldn't have the book of Revelations. John could have gotten, you know, a bit discouraged and a bit down and started blaming God and wondering what's going on and why is this? And, you know, I don't deserve this. But that's not what John did. So you have to ask yourself, what am I going to do in those situations? I'm kind of reminded of Brother Ron Spencer telling his testimony. And there he is in the hospital, and after being burnt, I believe it was, and or it might have been one of the times when he fell and got his back hurt. I think it might have been, and the nurse comes in, and she recognizes there's a different presence in this room. And she comes in, and she says, have you been praying, Mr. Spencer? And he said, yes, I sure have. And he says she begins to cry and ask him for prayer. And because why? She noticed there was something different in the room. And why was that? Is it because Brother Ron had gotten down and discouraged? Oh, Lord, here I am just trying to preach your word, and I fell off a ladder, and now my back is hurting and broken, and the doctor's saying I'm never supposed to walk again. Of course, the doctors know, you know, because we serve a big God. Amen. A sovereign God. Amen. And so instead of being down in the dumps and being depressed, he was just like, well, I just got plenty of time to pray. And this is where John is. He's out of the distractions of the church. He's out of the distractions and the persecutions and all of these things. And God puts him on this island so that God can talk to him, so that God has his time. And sometimes God puts you in a place where he can just get you to give him time. And sometimes that's flat on your back. And so you can ask yourself, well, if I don't want to be flat on my back, I just, well, then give him time. You know, sometimes it's the easy way or the hard way. And too often many of us choose the hard way. Amen? So what was John doing instead of getting depressed? And what was he doing? He says, I was in the Spirit. See, he already knew God had it all in control. And I'm here and okay, God. I'm on this rocky desert island. Well, there's nothing better to do but to pray. There's nothing better to do but to just worship you. And so that's what John does. He's in the Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. You could call those words the whole of the Christian life. If we are going to live as Christians, we have to be in his Spirit. John was not talking about being in his own spirit. That would not have brought these visions. It had to be the Spirit of God. It has to be the Spirit of God with us too, or all our efforts are in vain. Amen, Brother Nathan? Well, Brother Nathan could have tried to create a church and do all of this in his own, and all of those efforts, as good and noble as they would have been in vain. You can try to serve God and to do this and to do that, but if it's not in the Spirit, if it's just, well, okay, this is what good people do, so I'm going to do it, it's in vain. Until you get in the Spirit of God, your efforts are in vain. Because it's not you, and God... This is why God takes Gideon and he, you know, so many people and gets rid of them. And there's 300 left. Why? Because God says, I don't want you to do it. I need vessels. But I need vessels in my spirit. Amen. So that it's me. So that it's obvious that it's me. Amen? Yes. So all our efforts are in vain if it's not in the Spirit. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will sing in the Spirit. I will live in the Spirit. If there is anything good that will come to me, it has to be revealed by the Spirit, confirmed by the Word, and made manifest by the results it bears. Anything good? If there's anything good, you've got to get in the Spirit. As surely as John needed to be in the Spirit to receive these tremendous revelations fresh from Jesus, we need to be in the Spirit to understand the revelations that God has given us to us to live by in his word, for it is the same Spirit. Amen. You have to be in the Spirit. Amen. Now, this is still the next three slides here. Our direct quotation out of the Church Age book. It's just formatted in a creative way so that I can get the point across that I want to get across here. So, Brother Adam says, now remember, what the first thing you have to do is what?
Get in the Spirit.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. We might get in the spirit of this. I know everybody's in a sugar coma from all them little bits of joy that you got in those candy canes, them Starburst jelly beans, or the Mike and Ikes, or the Skittles, and... You know, we're all falling asleep because we've had our dinner and we've had our sugar and... But let's get in the Spirit here.
Right.
Right? So, what's the first thing we have to do?
Yes.
Yeah, that's so much better. How's these revelations going to ever come to you?
Yes.
Revelation. You know, there's something... Man, that reminds me of something. That yes, there's something that... That's right. The importance of revelation in the Spirit to a true believer can never, never be overemphasized.
Amen.
You need revelation more than you need anything. And I can never, 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 never overemphasize that. And how are you going to get it? Amen. You'll never get revelation if you're not in the Spirit. Come to church and sit like a bump on a log. You're going to get revelation, or is Brother Trevor and Brother Nathan and the tape and Brother Hoover and all the ministers, are we just talking? Yeah, if you come and you don't get in the Spirit, we're just talking.
Right.
There's no revelation. Amen. We want revelation in our lives. Amen. How are you ever going to get the Holy Ghost? Get in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit. Amen. Do you understand that this is, you know, I was just, as I was listening to Patmos Vision this week, and Brother Branham's talking about this, it just really came over me. Do we understand why we're coming to church? We could sit in our homes, and I'm not saying that you have to come to church to get in the Spirit. I'm not saying that. I believe that we ought to get in the Spirit in our prayer closet. I believe that we ought to get in the Spirit, you know, to be quite honest, you know, instead of insert canned prayer number two for lunch, you know, Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. Bless it and nourish it. May it give us energy to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, that's obviously not a canned prayer that I use very often because I took too long, you know. But, you know, we do this, right? Right? You know, we just, you know, Lord, you know, okay. Tradition. You know, it's the right thing to do. Amen. Good. Do the right thing. But sometimes we ought to understand. You know, I always like how when Brother Jason Watkins prays, because he bows his head and he says, Master. And I'm just like, oh, that's just so cool. You know, it's like, and you just begin to feel like, man, who are we talking to? We're talking to our Master. We're talking to the Almighty God. Yeah. And we ought to get in the spirit of that just a little bit, even for lunch. Like, just bow your head and don't just, you know, my food is good.
It's good, brother.
I don't want to do that. But maybe we should have just a little bit more of, Father,
yes.
Thank you, Lord, you know. This, you know, I just ate 5 hours ago, Lord. There's people in this world that, you know, ate 5 days ago.
Right.
You know, but for me, it's, you know, it's an every 5 hour thing. Thank you. God, thank you.
Amen.
And get in the spirit of it just a little bit when we pray. So I'm not trying to say that you have to come to church to get in the Spirit, because I believe that you should be getting in the Spirit actually every moment of your life.
Amen.
And endeavoring to stay in the presence of God and stay in the Spirit of God. But it, just as Brother Branham was preaching this, it just struck me so much. Just, why is the purpose of us coming to church? What are we doing here? We're coming together as a collective body. Now, we could stay in our homes and worship, and we can listen to a tape, and that's fine, and I appreciate those things, and I love that. But, you know, many of us have sat in our homes and listened to a tape, and it doesn't have to necessarily even be on a church day. It can just be, you know, whatever. We're going to sit and we're going to listen to a tape, you know. And my wife and I were kind of talking about it. It's like, you know, we're just not very good at that. And not that we're not good at listening to tapes in our home, but that we're not all that good at making a service out of it.
Right.
We're not that good out of actually getting into the spirit of it when we're sitting there in the living room, because I'm comfortable and there's distractions and, you know, there's coloring books and crayons and, oh, I want to go get this really quick. And people, you know, somebody goes and gets that real quick, you know, and then I'll come back down and I'll sit back down and I'll be quiet. And then somebody else thinks of something else and say, you know, and then, you know, there's a half an hour of the tape left and, you know, there's, where is everybody? We're not that good at it. Now, that's not to say that there's some people probably can. Just like, okay, everybody, sit. We're listening. The thing, you know, let's sing a song. Let's whatever. And let's create an atmosphere. I'm just saying that we as a family, we're not that great at that. You know, we just like coming to church.
Right.
And you should start to think about it. Why? Why is that? It's why? Because there's the body of believers here. There's a fine pastor who has a gift and who has a burden in his heart for all these people. There's musicians. You know, there's song leaders. There's gifts in the body of Jesus Christ. You know, there's ones who speak in tongues and all these different things. And what does it do? It creates an atmosphere where it's so much easier to get in the Spirit. You're not coming to church of the open door so that man can control your life.
Right.
You come to the wrong church.
Right.
There's plenty of churches that can do that, but that man's not doing that.
Amen.
You're coming to this church because it's a sanctuary. That's why I call it a sanctuary. A sanctuary where you can come and you can get away from the world and you can turn your cell phone off and you can get in and you can just, you know, and then the songs of Zion and you realize, hey, maybe I'm not in it, but I just saw somebody else raise their hand and, you know, then I went, what are you doing? Just sitting here like a bump on a log. People are actually praising God in this place. Maybe I should do that too. And then you raise your hand and go, sorry, Lord, let me get into this. And then, so you know, I'm just saying what I do, you know, and anybody there? Right? You know, or Brother Furman gets up, you know, and you can just hear the passion in his voice and, you know, and it's just like, oh, man, that just, that gets me, you know, I get a little emotional about that. And not emotions are not everything, but, you know, then it starts me thinking like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm a sinner too in need of the blood of God. Amen. So this is getting in the spirit. This is why we come to church, because there's gifts in this body that we want to utilize to get into the spirit and create an atmosphere, because Brother Branham says we're little messiahs, we're little creators. What do we create? We create an atmosphere. So how do we get in the spirit? Now, Brother Branham, he compares this to a ball game. This is how the world, how do sports fans get in the spirit? Now, I believe that's probably some Duke fans or something like that, because I think that's what her shirt says, but I'm not really sure. And to be quite honest, I don't really care about which team that may be or may not be. How do we get in the spirit? Now, these people, they are in the spirit. They are in the spirit. Amen. So how do sports fans, what do sports fans do to get in the spirit? Well, most of the times they think about the team and the players a lot. They think about it a lot, yeah. Now, they read up on all of the statistics. Are we together? Yeah. They read up on all the statistics. They read. They talk about it with their friends. Hey, did you see that the other day? Did you see that? Man, 3 seconds left, and what happened? My. You know, I about turned the table over. Emulate the players. I remember when Brother Steve and I were much younger, and you know, we'd see a basketball game, and man, we'd go hit the driveway, and you know, we'd see Jordan do some, you know, cool thing, and man, we went out there and tried to do the same thing. Steve, I'm sure, got a whole lot closer at it than I ever did, but you know. What do? We got, what was it? It was getting in the spirit. It's like, yeah, this is cool. You see, that guy's really good at it. I want to be like him. I want to try to do that. There you go. I want to, man. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? I'm not talking about the church. I'm just talking about a ball game. That's all I'm talking about. There's not really any correlations here. Looking forward to coming events. Can't wait for that game on Saturday. Dressing appropriate for the event. This gentleman is dressed appropriately for the event. He even has a tie on. I thought that was fantastic. Yes, praise the Lord. Dressing appropriately for the event. And then finally, going to where the event is.
Amen.
Oh, wow.
This is how sports fans get in the spirit. And then the event happens and they're there and the crowd is together. And it's, man, it doesn't it just get you, you know? And this is, you know, this is kind of why a lot of people, they prefer their college teams over the professional teams. Why? Because there's more school spirit, isn't there? Yeah. And so people appreciate the Spirit, and they go to the event, and people are all there. And it's like, yes, we're the greatest, we're the best. Ah, yeah. You know, go team. And they get into it. Brother Branham, you all, I'm sure, remember on the tape, you know, he talks about it. You know, he's, somebody goes, my, you know, gets up and something happens, my, woo, you know, and knocks somebody's hat off. And that's what happens when they get in the Spirit. They act differently than maybe they normally would because they spent time in it. They got to know all of these things. They know what's going to happen. Oh, they know that, you know, man, Johnson's going to connect with, Smith, you know, and boy, they're, you know, and that other team, I mean, their defense, you know, they can't cut the pass off. You know, and it's just, you know, they know these things. They know these things so they can anticipate what might happen. Because they, you know, okay, can I preach for a little while now? So as we get into the Word of God, we can begin to understand, you know, and not to toot my own horn here, but sometimes, you know, Nathan's preaching along and he gets upset at me because I say amen before he makes the point. You know, because I used the same quote in a sermon 2 weeks ago. And he's, you know, preaching down this, and I'm like, I know exactly where this is going. You know, tag me in. You know, I see it. I know where this is happening. Why? Because I sat there and I read the statistics. And I understood the players. And I knew that the devil's defense in that area was kind of weak. And I knew that this, man, this next line that he's about to read is going to be a 70-yard pass. Why? And it was easy to get in the Spirit. Instead of me sitting there going, now, what's he trying to say? I don't understand. I don't understand this game. Now, what are downs? They get four of them. What are those? Anybody ever tried to explain what a down is? It's pretty difficult. Well, like, it tries, right? Why? Because people aren't familiar with the game. And they're sitting there, they're in the stands going, now, what are they trying to do? I don't, you know, everybody else is going, woohoo, this is amazing, yeah, go. And they're like, now, what is it again? You know, and it's like, honey, just stay home next time. You're not in the Spirit. And it's dragging everyone down. Right? Because you can, you know, we know, Brother Branham tells us, you know, sometimes you come to church with the wrong attitude. You come to church full of sin. You come to church, you got up that morning, you had fights and you had everything else. No one has prepared. Oh my, they've prepared. I'm preparing for church. You know, you be quiet over there. I'm preparing for church. You know, preparing for church, making sure everything is good in the mirror. Is that how you prepare for church?
Oh my.
I know that's how most of us prepare for church. But we would have a much better game going on in church if we prepared more like this.
Amen.
And we got down on our knees.
Yes.
And we prepared for church.
All right.
Amen.
That's a preparation. It's getting in the Spirit.
Right.
And if we prepared by reading up about the players and understanding the statistics and having an understanding of the game and how it operates. Oh my, what an event church becomes then. Because there's an anticipation. As you know, if you don't understand it and somebody's, you know, it's you know, and you don't understand that, you know, time is coming to, you know, the final seconds of the game. I mean, I don't know if we're near the final seconds of the game or not. I mean, I'm not sure if this is the most tense, you know, end time, double overtime. And I'm not talking about preaching for, you know, 2 hours, but I'm just talking about where we are on this timeline. That the buzzer, or maybe it's a trumpet in our scenario here, instead of a buzzer, that the trumpet is going to sound. Because the time will tick down to zero. And he that is holy will be holy still. And he that is filthy will be filthy still. and the trumpet is going to blow. The anticipation that should be on the hearts of true believers should be at an all-time high. It should be absolutely epic to understand that the game of all games, that everything else is just merely a shadow and type of, but that the game of our lives, that the game that God orchestrated and set down, the game that is history, is about to unfold and come to a close. And there's two people right there at the end, and we're wondering who's going to win. But we know who's going to win. We know which team has the better statistics. We know which team has the better offense. But yet even then, when we know in a game who's better, and it comes down, there's always that little uncertainty. And we don't have uncertainties, but, you know, the devil likes to try to put them in us. And it makes the anticipation palpable. You can feel it in the room. And I wonder sometimes why we don't feel that in our lives. God, you're coming soon. And my, this thing is wrong, and this thing is wrong. And God, we know he that's filthy is filthy still. God, pull them out. Come on, God. Go, Lord. Oh, it's so close. God, I got to win this. God, I don't. This thing's getting him away. I want to win.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God, I want to train better.
Amen.
I want to get better at this, Lord.
Amen.
Wow, this is getting in the spirit. It's not an act. It's not just an emotion. You don't come to church and, you know, we just don't put things on. It's just too important. You don't just come to, yeah, let's get in the spirit. Woo, glory to God. Yeah. Woohoo. I'm in the spirit. I'm in the spirit. Oh, devil ain't going to get me down. I'm in the spirit. Okay, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, you can, you know what? You ever have somebody tell a joke and they start laughing and you start laughing? You have no idea. What's funny? But you're laughing because they're laughing. And sometimes we come to church and we have no idea. But everybody else is getting... Yeah. I have no idea what's going on in this place. But everybody else is having a good time. So am I. You are not in the spirit. You did not get the joke. Thank you for playing. It makes us feel better. But don't deceive yourself. That's not the spirit. Emotion is part of it, yeah. But did you read about the players? Did you understand the statistics? Did you get into? Did you prepare? And if you're not doing that, just because you're emotional, because you're acting the part, hey, that's not the spirit.
Amen.
There's so much more to it. There's a depth here that's where we want to get into. Is the depth? Amen. And again, it's not just in church. Church is a very good way to get in the spirit because you utilize the gifts that everyone else is bringing. You utilize those licks of fire that everyone else is bringing and you add to it and my, it can just be a wonderful thing and it can just really help you get over. You know, the pastor can say something. The tape can say, you know, Brother Branham can say something on a tape. I get it now. Well, praise God. It's what we're hoping for. I got a little more revelation today. Amen. Wonderful. That's what we want. That's what this is all here for. That's why we're coming together. Amen. So just a note, you know, we went to that question and we said, in his presence is fullness of joy. So while we're on this subject of how does the world get in the spirit and where does the world find their fullness of joy? We can understand that many of the world finds the fullness of joy in a ball game. Much of the world finds the fullness of joy in work. Finds their fullness of joy in how they look. Finds their fullness of joy in their kids. Their husband, their wife. Their dog, but that's a sad, sad existence really. You understand what I'm saying, church?
Amen.
When do we understand that getting in the Spirit of God, that being in His presence, seems so hard for us sometimes, doesn't it? God, you seem so far away. Well, why does He seem so far away? Is it because you haven't sought Him in, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? 2 years, 3 years, because your prayer life is 5 minutes, jump into bed. Lord, help all these 100 people that need help. Thank you. Must go to bed now. Or have you sought him? Have you looked at after him? Have you said, God, come have a conference with me? Don't be far off, God. Let's. I want to live close to you. I want to be friends with you. Because we can be. Amen. Abraham was the friend of God. Amen. And you're the royal seed of Abraham. So you should be in the same position. So it shouldn't be foreign to us that we could be in his presence. But yet it so often is. And so we don't recognize that that's fullness of joy. And it's so much easier to turn on the ball game. Yes, tuning into the ball game is easier. The devil has made sure that any other option is so much easier to do than getting into the presence of God. Amen? But what is the, but is that the fullness of joy or isn't it? You have to begin to start asking yourself, I just want to sit down and enjoy this game. Okay, so do you want to sit down and enjoy the game? Or do you want to sit down and have the most full joy you can possibly have? Is there something better than this game? I mean, I have a really good time watching this game. And I'm just picking on games tonight, but maybe it's a thing, maybe there's something else for you. So don't worry, Brother Daniel. I'm not just picking on you. Everybody else needs to be. So, some of you, I know there's other brothers too that are just totally into it. So it's not just Brother Daniel. So, but what is it for you? What is that thing that you resort to for your joy? And you keep finding yourself like, yeah, this is great. You know what? But then it's over. But the presence of God never fails and it never ends. And if it's true, and if you're sitting there wondering, like, what, I mean, I get it. Like, I see, I understand what you're saying, that the presence of God is fullness of joy, but I just don't know that I don't know if I feel that way truly in my heart. You need to get in the presence of God more. And you'll understand. You know, Brother Branham, he took the pin and he poked the guy. Because the guy says, I don't know if I believe that. And Brother Branham poked him with a pin. He's like, what'd you do that for? He said, well, you said you had to feel it or whatever to believe it. He said, well, let me poke you now. He said, no, I know it's already going to hurt. Why? Because he experienced it. And some of us just need to experience the presence of God, and we need to experience it so much more to recognize that in his presence truly is the fullness of joy. And that you're only hurting yourself. And I'm not saying we never have pastimes, we never relax, we never have any other kind of fun. But I think in 2 minutes, I won't make you raise your hands. But you understand, I'm just going to say this to you, and I know that 95% of us, if not 100% of us, would raise our hands to say we've got it topsy-turvy. That we resort to other things far often for our joy than we do the presence of God. And who are we hurting? Ourselves. And generally everyone else around us, because, the more of us that are experienced in the presence of God, getting in the Spirit of God, and we come to church, how much better is it going to be? I don't know if y'all, I'm sure everyone has noticed, we've had some, We have got in the Spirit lately. Amen. We really have in this church, and it's been wonderful. And we pray it continues, but it's only going to continue through people putting the work in, putting the effort in. But you know what? I say that it's work, and I say that it's effort. But, as we read our statistics of players, now, I would think that's a bit of work. To be quite honest, if I'm trying to figure out who's got the best this and the best that, because I'm just not into those things. There's plenty of things that I am into and that I know more than I probably should know about. But it just depends on your perspective of the thing. Like, if this is something that you enjoy, this is not work to read these statistics and to understand this and to memorize these tables of who's got the best batting average and these things. It's not work to you. It's not effort, because you're gravitating it to it. Now we're all built differently, but just to get to a place where we recognize that, man, our lives just get out of cater, and we say something on one side, like in his presence is the fullness of joy, but on the other hand, we never get into his presence, and we go, oh yeah, Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Amen? Amen. But we do this in our lives far too often. I do this in my life. So, slap me upside the head too. Amen? But Brother Branham says, our spirit is clean, it is fresh, it is real, it is sober and serious, but nonetheless full of the joy of the Lord. So we're sitting here and we're sober and we're serious. But at the same time, there's something on the inside that is just like, this is amazing. This is wonderful. Amen? He says, the Christian ought to be just as exuberant and full of his pleasure in the Lord as the world is when it savors and delights in its pleasures. You see, many times we have too many people that are legalistic in message churches, and they don't understand this at all. They acknowledge this is truth, but they don't experience this. They sit there and they work at it and work at it. And they're, oh yeah, I'm happy at church. I'm really happy to do all of these things. But it's a put on. Right. It's a bunch of work to them. Oh my. Why? They're not in the spirit of it. They don't understand. They probably haven't been converted. They still desire these other things, but are trying to make this quote alive in their own life. Right. But we've been recreated. That's what the Brother Branham says there. We've been recreated in him. If you're not experiencing this, that they're full of pleasure in the Lord, you need to be recreated into a new body, a new creation, that this truly is the pleasure and the delight of. Because if you're still sitting there, oh, I love these things and I wish I could do these things, but I know they're wrong, so I'm going to come over here. Man, just get on your knees and say, God, make a new man out of me. Make a new woman out of me. Now, don't get so high and mighty. Oh, I've been in the message church 20 years, but you're still not even enjoying it. Come on, church. Get rid of your pride. Let it go. Why would you suffer like that? You can have pleasure and fullness of joy in the Lord. My goodness, but yeah, oh, no, I'm a message believer. I've met many, too many message believers. They just, oh, praise the Lord, I'm a message believer. I'm a message believer. I love it. There is nothing that thrills me so much as, you know, as studying and doing that teaching on the seven trumpets that we did. Like, I just, man, I see those things and I'm just like, whoa, that's amazing. What can you say? But that's just God. And I see it. I see it and not everyone else. Oh, yes. What? That's pleasure to me. Why? Because there's something new inside of me that didn't used to be there. And if you're a message believer, this should be reality to you. And if you're not, just get ready to say, okay, God, I've, you know, just stand up and say, look, I'm done. I'm done playing. I'm done just trying to be the message guy, do the thing because it's right. I want it because it's joy. I want it because it's him. I want to get in the spirit of God. Amen. I want it to be a pleasure to me. Amen. Both Christians and the world are human. Both have emotions. The difference is the Christian's hearts and emotions are purely on the Lord of glory and his love, while the world satisfies the flesh. So church, let's get in the spirit. Come to church. Get in that atmosphere. Create that atmosphere in your homes. Let's get in the spirit. Amen? Amen. So, John on Patmos. Where was John and when? Actually, what had happened was that John was caught up in the spirit and transported into the Lord's day, which is yet to come. The Bible speaks of the day of the Lord, which is to be in the future, and John is now seeing the things of that future day. Amen. So this is where we continue on. Now we've just talked about being in the spirit, but it says here, in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So here we are now. We're picking up the next little section here. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Here's verse 10. In the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So we're going to talk about rest for a minute. Brother Brandon makes the statement, the cry in all of our hearts is rest. Now, the reason he's talking about this, and I have this kind of jumbled up a little bit, but the reason he's talking about this is because the Lord's Day is that day of rest. And we'll talk about the difference between the day of the Lord and the Lord's day. But the Lord's day is that day of rest. So the cry in all of our hearts is rest. And I was telling my wife, you know, I said, it's really kind of an irony. There was one time Brother Branham, he woke up in the middle of the night. And the Lord gave him, I don't remember the title of the sermon, but one of the things that was really pressing on his heart was rest. And in that sermon that he preaches on it, he says the entire Christian experience is based solely upon rest. Hebrews 4:11, I think I might be off on that passage reference for sure, but what does it say? Labor to enter into the rest. That's the only thing the Christian does. Is the only work that we do is just whatever work it takes to get into his rest. And so this is the Lord's day. This is the rest that we want to get into. But I told my wife, I said, you know, it's kind of ironic because this is the sermon on rest that Brother Branham decided to preach. But he got so inspired in the middle of the night that he woke his wife up and started preaching to her about rest. You'll never forget that one now. And that makes me happy. Thus, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they ceased from their worldly works, their worldly doings, their evil ways. The Holy Ghost took charge of their lives. They entered into rest. There is your rest. That is your Sabbath. It is not a day nor a year, but the eternity of being filled and blessed in the Holy Spirit. How many want to spend all eternity filled and blessed in the Holy Spirit? Did you know that today was part of eternity? Don't wait. Oh, I got to wait for Jesus to come. No, you don't have to wait for Jesus to come to have this. He's already come in the form of the Holy Spirit. You can be filled and blessed in the Holy Spirit today. That is the rest that you're supposed to be in. Today, if you get it today, you'll have it for all eternity. You don't get it today or anytime soon before he comes, you're not going to have it for all eternity. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Labor to get into this rest, the Holy Spirit. It is you ceasing and God doing.
Amen. Amen.
Those gruff message believers I was talking about, they haven't ceased yet. They're still trying to do it on their own. But it's God that wants us to cease and let him do it through us. Stop trying so hard. The yoke is easy. The burden is light. Amen.
Amen.
Labor to enter into the rest. God, this needs to be done, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you do it through me. I'm going to take my hands off of this thing. I'm going to pray about this. You know, God removes all those so many responsibilities so that we can just focus on him. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, you don't have to worry about your sin. I took care of that. Just focus on me. You don't have to worry about doing this, doing that, doing this. The only thing you have to worry about is get into my rest and focus on me. I've got this. I've got this.
Amen.
You see, that's the day he wants to take us to, the Lord's day, that 1,000-year millennial reign. He wants us to be resting. What did he say here? Let me find this one again. That it's the cry on all of our hearts that we enter into rest, and I can't find what I'm looking for, but so let's just continue on. Oh, that people might come unto him and find that rest. There is a cry in all of our hearts for that rest. Boy, I like that. What he said that, man, where is that quote on my slides here? Where he just said, look, this is the entire Christian experience here is rest. You want to get into rest. Intervale, yeah. That's the quote I'm thinking of. And then he says something about that in the Church Age book, which I thought was on my slides here. But obviously, it is not. So forgive me for that. But so there's a cry in all of our hearts for that rest. Do you feel that cry? Because it's there. It's longing. Lord, just, you know, you ever get to a place where, you know, maybe you're at a get-together or something like that, and everybody's standing around talking, and you're just like, man, I just want to sit on the couch for like 5 minutes. Can we just sit on the couch for five? I just want to rest. Do you feel like that in your life sometimes? Do you feel like that in your work? In just how we live? We got to recognize there is a couch that we can go and sit on and rest. And it's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, Brother Branham, he mentions a quote. I'll read this one to you. Brother Branham says, he done the holding on. He says, there's no such thing as holding on. He's talking about hard struggling. He says, the whole Christian principle is based upon rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Don't have to worry and struggle. You're just resting. That's all. Given rest and you enter into peace. Then that whole thing is finished. You know, Brother Branham, he mentions, there's a quote on our blog, and he was talking about that we can have such a burden for people. And he says, you can sigh and cry for these people, and you just have such a burden to help people that he says that you can't even rest day or night, but so full of the joy of the Holy Spirit. And it's like, hang on a second. I am supposed to be so burdened for these people that I'm sighing and crying and I can't even sleep at night because I'm so burdened for these people. But yet on the inside, there's so much joy. And when you figure out how that all works, you let me know because I'm still working on that one. But I understand that that's truth.
Amen.
That there is a place that we can be at, that we can be so solid, that we can be so grounded. And so, like, we're just in rest, and it's like, oh, God, that person's struggling, and I just really want them to not be struggling, and I, but yet there's still something in me that says, praise God. You know, my daughter came to me, this was a few months ago, and, my dad, my mother passed away in 2000, my dad remarried, and he married she's a nice Christian lady, but when we start preaching on the Holy Spirit, we start preaching on the Holy Spirit's going to bring you to this message. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not taking a rapture. You know, that begins to, and, you know, children aren't, you know, children are pretty bright, actually. And it's like, okay, well, that means, you know, grandma ain't taking a rapture. I'm like, well, okay, how are we going to deal with this? So she said, Daddy, you know, this is how we believe. And this, you know, she doesn't see it. So what's going to happen to grandma? You know, because she never knew my mom. The only grandma she knows is on my side is my dad's new wife now. And I said, you know what? I said, I understand what you're talking about, and I know that's hard, and it's a hard concept to think about because she is such a nice lady. I said, but here's what the reality of it is that we serve a righteous and loving God.
Amen.
And we can trust a righteous God. We can trust him that he's going to do the right thing. That he is going to do the good thing. And so we can stress, we can worry, we can fret, we can beat them over the head with a Bible and a message book, and we can work and work and work and never, you know, and lose sleep all we want. But the reality of it is that we can rest knowing that a true, just, holy, wonderful, righteous God is going to take care of it.
Amen.
In the best, wonderful, righteous, loving, Amen. Holy, good way.
Amen.
He's in control.
Amen.
He's in control. Do you know what you need to do? Do you know what you need to do in your Christian experience? Grab a hammock, church. God wants you to know something. He's got it. He's got it.
Amen. Yes.
Get in the hammock. You know what? Sometimes those hammocks, I mean, there's a one strand on each side, and it's not always easy to get into. Sometimes you fall out of the hammock trying to get in. But don't give up. Get in the hammock. Stay in the hammock. Grab an iced tea before you go so you won't want to get up. Put some lemonade in it so that it actually tastes good. You can stay for a good long while. God's got it. He's holy. He's righteous. His word is alive and active. Amen? Get in the hammock, church. So the Lord's day versus the day of the Lord. So, little audience participation. We're going to talk about the day of the Lord. What is the Lord's day? We talked about that. That's getting into the rest. That's that thousand-year millennium period. But we want to get into what is the day of the Lord, and we're going to contrast this. So, Brother Daniel, if you could read Ezekiel 13:5 for me.
Sure. He hath not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord.
Okay. Standing in the battle in the day of the Lord. What does that tell us about the day of the Lord? What are we hearing?
War.
Okay. Good. Good. Joel 1, 15, and Brother Luke Nicholson. You got that one?
Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and that the destruction from the Almighty shall have come.
What are we hearing about the day of the Lord? Okay. Destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Okay. So we've got war, we've got destruction. Joel 2, 1, Brother Stephen.
Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, and it is nigh at hand.
War, destruction, trembling. Sister Christy, Malachi 4:5.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Is it a wonderful day? Dreadful day of the Lord. War, trembling, destruction, dreadful. Sounds like a good day. The day of the Lord. Let's see here. Brother David Heppelin.
For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low.
Putting some people in their place. Amen. All right. Brother Wade, Acts 2, verse 20.
The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come.
Destruction, war, trembling, dreadful, darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, Sister Sherry.
For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
Comes when? In the night, suddenly, more darkness. This is the day of the Lord. And finally, Brother Ben.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise.
Woo!
And the shall melt with fervent heat.
Mm.
The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up.
Thief in the night, heavens pass away with a great noise. Wow. Elements melting with fervent heat. Works and all therein burned up. This is the day of the Lord. So now we begin to understand the difference between the day of the Lord and the Lord's day. And so we can look at this on a timeline that the day of the Lord, this is after the rapture. And the day of the Lord comes and there's judgments. And then we go into the Lord's day. Because a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, right? So the day of the Lord is that day when he's coming. He's going to take us away, but judgments begin to fall upon the earth. But the Lord's day that we're with him is 1,000 years of rest. I preached a sermon one time called Millennium Without Repentance. And generally the thrust of the sermon is, who wants to go to the millennium? Everybody wants to go to the millennium. And if I told you that you could have this great millennium, you'd have a, you know, if I said, hey, I'm taking a bus, we're going to a new land, it's great, all the cheesecake you could eat, you know, all, you know, everything that's good, hammocks everywhere, iced tea, lemonade, it's going to be great, beautiful weather, you know, 75, sometimes it gets to 80 just so that it can be, you know, we can swim, and, you know, just going to be just beautiful, perfect weather all the time, no stress, everything's taken care of, how many want to go? Everybody wants to go. Oh, just one thing I didn't tell you. Just slight minor point. Everything's going to be just as great as I've described, but just one slight little caveat. Jesus won't be there, but it's still going to be great. So does everybody want to come? Nobody wants to come. Nobody wants to go to a millennium without Jesus. It can be great. It can be wonderful, but Jesus isn't there, so we don't want to go anymore. You want that for your future. What about now? Why do you want something in your future? I want to rest there. I want to be with Jesus. I want everything to be great. You know, what you just told me is that Jesus is the best part of the millennium. You don't care about all the cheesecake, iced tea, and hammocks. You don't care about that if Jesus isn't there. It's what you just told me. So what's better? Jesus. The best part of the millennium? You can have it right now. You can have it right now.
Amen.
You see, why wouldn't we get into the Spirit, church? Why wouldn't we get in the Spirit to see the wonders that God gives to us right now? He gives us the glory and wonder and rest of the millennium now. But you're going to have to get in the Spirit. Because if you don't get in the Spirit, you'll never catch a revelation of that. And, you know, I just maybe want to point out that the importance of revelation in the lives of a true believer can never be overemphasized. If there's one thing you'll have memorized, you'll have that memorized. But you're going to have to get in the Spirit to get that revelation. You find yourself struggling to understand that in His presence is fullness of joy, get in the Spirit and say, God, I'm in the Spirit now. Give me the revelation of that because I want it. Having trouble resting? Having trouble taking even the legitimate cares that you have in your life? Are you having trouble letting go of them and trusting that God will be righteous and good and do His good pleasure? Get in the Spirit and say, God, reveal this to me. Amen?
Amen.
I can't wait for the Lord's day. And I sure want to miss the day of the Lord. Amen. If the musicians would come, we'd just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, You spoke to us tonight. This was different than I even thought, Lord. But God, You know all things. You spoke to the hearts of the people, and for that, Lord, we're very grateful that You would do such a thing. And Lord, we want to thank You for sending us this message along. Thank You for putting such truths in the form of a book that we can go through it and read it. And God, we're so blessed. You said, blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that heareth the words of this prophecy. Lord, we've read out of it. We know we're blessed tonight. Oh God. Let the truths that we've talked about, Lord, become revelation in our hearts. God, may we long for Your presence, for the fullness of joy that we can have with You, God. Lord, You long for us to be there too. Lord, we want to just come. We want to run to You, Lord. Lord, just as we worship and as we think on You, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would come and solidify these things in the hearts of every believer. Bless us now, Lord. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sanctuary for You. All one more time together.
appreciate what you heard tonight. Amen. God help us to get in the Spirit. Amen. John got so in the Spirit that he was caught up into the Lord's day. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. A little sample, a little foretaste. We get those every once in a while, don't we? We get so caught up in his presence, we think, my, what will it be? Will it be that way when we can stay in his presence for all eternity? Oh, my, we get little glimpses of it, but I'm longing for a time where we can just stay in his presence for all eternity. Amen. And I know there's a lot of controversy around it. As a patriot of this nation, you know, I'm against it when they do that. You know, a lot of the sports teams and things now, when they're singing the national anthem and raising the flag, they take a knee. But, you know, there's something about it. I was telling Brother Hoover, as he was talking about all the different types of sports and things, I said, when we play our national anthem, it's not even offensive if you decide that you want to take a knee. Spend some time with him. Amen. You won't offend nobody. You won't distract nobody. Amen. You know, and he's talking about the different things of the excitement of going and being part of the game. You know, maybe you've got some friends that are real sports fanatics, but I've never been with anybody, no matter how much of a fan they were, you know, sitting in their home or over at somebody's house and they turn on a game, and I've never seen them, you know, stomping their feet and defense and all that, you know, by themselves at home. But you get them there actually where the game's taking place, and sometimes they'll act like a crazy person. What is it? They're entering into the Spirit. Why didn't they do that when they was at home? Why didn't they? Because there's an atmosphere that's being created. I don't know. Maybe some of you get that excited and you stomp your feet in your house and your wife looks at you like you're crazy over there stomping your feet and clapping to defense. But when you're there in that atmosphere, there's something about it. What does it do? It creates an atmosphere. Why? Because this one over here is getting blessed. And this one over there is getting blessed. This one back here is getting excited because God's doing something for him. Amen. I don't know about you. I love to come to church. Amen. It's not because I'm the pastor. I love to come to church. When we're visiting out other places and things, even if I'm not preaching, or when I come and sit here, Brother Trevor, or these other brothers, or we sit and listen to a tape, I love to come to church. Something about it on the inside of me. I can't wait to get back and see, what's he going to do next week, Brother Hoover? Amen. I'm not a real big sports fan anymore. You know, I was always more, I guess, back in the day when I was a teenager and things, I was always more into the individual athlete than I was the team or the sport or whatever. And it seems like it's hard to find, you know, good role models as athletes these days and things. But you know, there's something about it. You'd be excited to see that next game. What is he going to do? My, he did a triple spin reverse dunk this last game. What's he going to do? What's he going to pull out for us next? Is he going to jump from the foul line and slam dunk it? Or what's he going to do? And there's something about that is so small compared to what we see God do. There's something about it in my heart. I see God doing things. I see people getting healed. I see people getting the victory. I see people shouting and dancing and screaming in the Spirit. I think, Lord, that was so wonderful what you did for us last Sunday night or last Wednesday night. But, Lord, what do you got for us tonight? We come with anticipations. Amen. I want to challenge you after what Brother Trevor said tonight. I want to just challenge you. Spend more time in prayer. Amen. I want to challenge you. I'm not going to ask you for a whole lot of your time, but for these services, if you can't come 30 minutes early because of work or whatever's going on, you can't get her 30 minutes early, spend 30 minutes sometime during the week praying for the service, praying for God to lead and guide the leadership of the church, praying for the song leaders, praying for the musicians, praying for God to bless the service, praying for those that need a touch. Just 30 minutes for each service. That's an hour and a half a week. I challenge you to do it. You think we've been seeing good services like Brother Trevor was talking about? If every member of this church would take to their heart, maybe some of you have already been doing it. Maybe you pray an hour for every service. I don't know. But I challenge you. Let's really take it to prayer. Lord, be in the service. Come with anticipations. Come knowing, Lord, I prayed. I put time in for this service, and I'm looking for you to do something. I'm looking for you to move. Maybe it'll be for me. Maybe it'll be for a family member. Maybe it'll be for somebody else. But I'm looking for you to do something in the service. Amen. You know, Brother Bram said you can read too much, you can sing too much, you can preach too much. You can never pray too much. We can never give him too much time in prayer. Amen. May it create a living, breathing atmosphere inside of us that others would see. Amen. A sanctuary that God could come and dwell in. A body, a vessel that God could come and speak in. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to create that kind of atmosphere. Not one that would grieve him away, but one where he would be welcome in our midst. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. Let's stand and sing this together tonight. Number 204 in your hymn book, if you don't know it. Oh, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim our eyes. Oh, all is peace forevermore on that high. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, church, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, those demons will have to flee. For when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand. Those demons will have to flee. When we come in the name of Jesus, tell me Let's just bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been good to be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus again tonight, Lord. Lord, to hear our brothers share things, Lord, truths that we know. Lord, things in the Scripture and things in the message, Lord, things that should thrill our hearts and encourage us as believers. Lord, may we go out of here, Lord, with a greater desire to serve you. May we go out of here, Lord. Maybe Satan's tried to get us in some kind of a slump or in some kind of a rut to where we're just going through the steps, Lord. But may these things that we hear, may they shake our conscience, Lord, to something higher, that you're calling us to a higher place in you, Lord, a closer relationship, a higher experience, Lord, that we can have victory, that we can have joy. It doesn't have to be dependent on our bank account, how much is in there, or whether our team won or lost, or whether we got the promotion at work, or whether we feel good in our body, or whether we're sick and in bed, whatever it would be, Lord, that we can have joy, abiding joy, because we know in whom we have believed. Lord, and that in your presence there's fullness of joy. There's no disclaimer with that scripture that says, you know, as long as we're feeling good in body and as long as we're financially stable and as long as everything's good at home, said in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Lord, that means even when we're going through a trial, even when we're going through tribulations, even when we're going through sickness in our body, even when Satan's trying to lie to us or tried to rob us of our victory, if we can just get in your presence, Lord, no matter the circumstance, no matter how dark that Satan has painted the picture, once we're in your presence, Lord, we can experience that completeness and fullness of joy. Lord, because that's where our joy truly comes from, is from you, Lord. Oh, Lord, if there's other things that we've tried to use to take the place of that, Lord, may we recognize there's no true peace, there's no true joy outside of Jesus Christ. That abiding presence, Lord, that gives us completeness and fullness of joy, Father. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord. Bless each family, Lord, as we celebrate these holidays. Lord, may it not just be a celebration, but may it be a worship. Lord, may we remember the one that came and gave his life for us, Lord. May we remember, as Brother Layton quoted this morning, the reason for this season, Lord. May we put the emphasis on you. What you did for us, what you're continuing to do for us, Lord. Protect each one, maybe some traveling, and be with each family as they gather. Lord, may the Holy Spirit be the unseen guest in their home just to create an atmosphere. Lord, protect them and keep them safe. Bring them back at the appointed time. Our visitors, Lord, may you be with them and protect them as they travel, Lord. Be with each one, Lord. May we go out of here closer to you than we came in, Father, is our prayer. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed. Let's sing it as we go. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of